Okay, we're on. Is that loud enough? Everybody here okay? Can't hear Sister Reva? Put this closer. Closer. Everybody good? Okay. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thankful to be here. Thankful for Brother Dennis this morning and doing the first service. And, you know, there are those that we need to remember. I know Brother Joe, we look on the prayer request list, but I know Ethan's sick. Haley's not feeling well either. Ethan did test positive for the COVID virus. So they're sheltering like they need to. Carla wasn't feeling well this morning. She had a little bit of a cough. And I do ask that we remember Brother Randy Coffey and Sister Brenda, especially. They asked for those prayers this morning. Sister Brenda's not feeling real well, and Brother Randy's got this surgery that's facing him, so he's pretty much going to be staying, you know, locked up, I think, the way he's going to keep it, because he didn't want to miss out on that surgery, and I don't blame him. And I know we have some that are missing. Randy and Nancy are gone, so just be much in prayer for our older folks. And we're thankful that Sister Reva's here. She celebrated her birthday, and she told me this morning, next year I'll be 90. Well, maybe we'll just tell everybody you're 89 again. But we look forward to that for Sister Reva. You know, I want to turn over to the book of Genesis. You know, Dennis was talking about faith this morning. He didn't tell you in that story about he always calls me when he starts worrying. And he says, Greg, you can calm me down. So when he told me that he had coughed up blood, I said, sounds to me like you got a pulmonary embolism. So that's when he went right back to the hospital, and I was talking to him. He said, keep on talking. My blood pressure's coming down. I'm glad that we have a relationship that, you know, we can talk with each other like that. And like he said, you know, a relationship with our Heavenly Father where we are able to place our faith in Him and our trust in what He tells us that He's going to do for us. When we look over here in Genesis chapter 8, and, you know, I'm going to read a lot of this chapter here, but I want to put into our mind what the earth is like at this time. And when you look here at Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. You know, when you look here at verse 14, I'm going to stop here. And you know, I think that there's still a lot of misconceptions about what people believe what happened here when the great flood was brought upon the earth, and how God had told Noah to do the things that he did. And Noah did those things by faith. Many people will tell you, yeah, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Many people will tell you that. And you know, that's what it tells us in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 12. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. But that's about all that they know about the flood that covered the whole face of the earth. Most people will then tell you that God dried the flood waters and Noah was told to leave the ark. But most people don't understand how God had used Noah and the resources that were needed to provide for everything while Noah and his family and all the animals, they were in the ark. I stopped at verse 14 here because it says that in the second month, on the 27th of the month, was the earth dried. When you go back and you read Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open. Noah had gone into the ark, and we think that when he had gone into there, that I don't know if he had any idea of how long he was going to be in the ark, about the provisions that God told him to place into the ark. Noah and everything that were in the ark, they had been in that ark for one entire year. And then I got to thinking, how mighty is our God that we were preserved, that they were preserved for a whole year. And I know when we went and we went to the exhibit, the ark exhibit down there in California, it kind of gives you a little bit of thinking about the ark. It says in verse 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for the man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The one thing that I cannot tell you is what the earth looked like before the great flood. You know, we have all these fossils that are in the ground, things that are left to us after the great flood, that we know about these rocks and the soil that we have. But I can't tell you what the terrain of the land was, what it looked like. But I do know that things were changed forever after the flood. there had not been a rainbow before the flood. Because after the flood, God made a covenant with Noah, and he made it to us also, that the earth would not again be destroyed by the waters of the flood. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 11 says, "And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth." Now that does not mean that we're not going to have flooding. If you look outside our doors right now, we've got a little bit of localized flooding. But what he says here is that the world will not be destroyed by the waters of the flood as he had done at this time. Now I want us to put ourselves in Noah's place for a moment and think about what he may have been thinking when he left the ark after the flood. I'm sure that he looked around all the things that were around about him, and he saw the earth that was before him. As I said, I don't know what the earth looked like before the flood. I know what the earth looked like after the flood. It's what we have right here. We know that there are mountains now. The ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. And, you know, I think about what Noah may have seen, and the scriptures tell us about maybe even how these mountains were formed. I don't know. It says, and we read in Genesis 7:11, that the fountains of the deep were broken up and they were pushed up. And then the rains came down. But I want to focus on is this time that Noah, when he looked out of the ark at this time, and it's a new beginning. It's going to be a new beginning for Noah and his family and all the animals that were on the ark. For the things that Noah saw for the first time. Jessica had sent out a text the other night about a midnight mom, and it talked about a new beginning. And I had already started thinking about this as a subject, a new beginning. And I couldn't help but think about the things, and even that little text she sent out talked about the things that we had possibly seen in the past year. Many things that happen to us, and they cause us to look with hope at the beginning of this new year. There's been a lot of things that we like to leave behind us. Many of us have lost loved ones in the past year. We think about all that's still going on with this COVID virus and the things that we see in the past year, all the sicknesses that have taken place in the past year, the things that we want to leave behind. And we look at those things in this new year. We look at this year as a new beginning. And yes, you know, probably, you know, we've all sat down and thought about things that we want to change, we want to do better at, maybe eating habits, maybe to exercise, reading the Bible more. And I hope that if you've made a New Year's resolution that you can make it through, that you continue on with those things. But in a way, this marks a new beginning for us as we move into this new year. You know, I'm excited about some of the things that we've been doing here with our church family, and I want us to always have that zeal to move forward. I'm thankful we was even able to start doing our fellowships again. I'm excited that we are moving towards more services again. It seems like when we do those things, it seems like that old virus creeps up again. I'm excited about the things that Brother Mike, our pastor, about what he's talked about and some of the ideas that he's had. And a lot of us have ideas also. So I'm excited about those things. Then I began to think of another new beginning. That we think about Noah's new beginning. We think about what we're doing here. And, you know, I think about a new beginning that's going to take place for every individual. Both of these new beginnings have been foretold to us in the Bible. After death, there will be a new beginning. For the children of God, there will be a new beginning in heaven. Now, there are many things that are written in God's Word about heaven. And I will mention a few of these things. I know that the Bible tells us that Christ told us in John chapter 14, in the first four verses, He said that He's going to prepare a place for us. And in verse 2, He talks about that place that He's preparing for us in heaven. John chapter 14 and verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." We're going to live in a mansion. You know, we were kids, and we always loved to watch that TV show, The Beverly Hillbillies. Everybody remember that? And you know, it was about that poor family there that were living in the hills, I think probably of Tennessee or someplace like that. And they ended up striking it rich. And they moved to a mansion in Beverly Hills. I can still see on the opening credits of that show when it came on about how that they were driving down the street, and all they were looking at, it was all amazement to them, the way they was looking around. Even Granny sitting up on that rocking chair up on the top. You know, we can read of things in the book of Revelation, and don't think that when Noah looked out the ark door that he didn't look at the earth in amazement. The book of the Revelation, and when we look about some of the things that it talks about in heaven, I'm not going to read every verse over in the book of Revelation. You can look over in Revelation chapter 21. The very first verse, it tells us that there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. "For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there will be no more sea." Now, I can't explain that, but I can accept it because it's written here in this Bible. It talks about the New Jerusalem and the sight that is there and what we will behold. In verse 10 here in chapter 21, it says, "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." The beauty of this city. The very next verse talks about these gates. And it had a wall great and high and had 12 gates. And the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then it says, on the east gate, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, the south three gates, and the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. Now, I'm not going to continue to read on down through here, but you can read about these precious stones and these jewels that these walls and these gates are made of. The gates are pearl. And then it talks about on down in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Imagine the size of that pearl. We get excited if we see something that big. And the street of the city was pure gold as it was transparent glass. Now I've said this before, that one of the things that I've enjoyed most about dentistry is the times that I have gotten to work with gold. Many things that we did when we were in dental school and we did it in gold, we had to make it ourselves. And it's just beautiful when you heat up a piece of gold and you begin to fire it. And you see the impurities that come to the surface of that gold. Those impurities are removed. And you can look at that little ball of gold and it's just, you can't describe what it looks like. You can look in it and you can see yourself back. And then once you cast that into a crown or whatever you're making out of gold and you clean it up and you polish it up, again, you see your reflection that's in that gold. And we think of gold so highly. People tell you you need to invest in gold because gold never loses its value. It goes up and down. But to have gold is supposed to be permanent. And streets in heaven are just made out of gold. When we think about what it's paved with out here. Look at what it says in verse 4 here of chapter 21. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Not going to be any more crying. Not going to be any more death. Not going to be any more sadness or sorrow. All these former things that we know of are passed away. All those that are in heaven that have gone on before us, we're going to be reunited with them again. You know, I think about the Old Testament saints that I'm going to meet. I think about David. I think about Moses. I think about Noah that we read about this morning. Then I think about some that are in the New Testament. Now, people are probably going to say, yeah, Peter and Paul. And I want to see what Zacchaeus looked like, that little old fellow that climbed up in the sycamore tree. And think about how that little fella, how he got up in the sycamore tree just so he could see Jesus. But when I think about them, Jesus will be the first one that I'm going to see. I think that we're going to see him with his open arms. And I think we're going to see those nail-scarred hands. And be reminded of his love for us and the price that he paid for our sins on that cruel cross of Calvary. Now, I know that I've left many things out that you've probably been thinking about when I said about these things about heaven, but I'll tell you this, that whatever we think about heaven, we cannot comprehend what that new beginning that we have, what it's going to be like in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." You know that song, "We Can Only Imagine"? We can only imagine what heaven will be like. I tell you this, it will be a constant time of praise and worship. Now, the one thing that I do know about Noah and what he saw in the new beginning, Noah still sees sin on this earth. The sin is still in this old world. Now, I'm not saying, you know, when I talk about these new beginnings with these resolutions, if you don't make it, that's not a sin. That's not what I'm talking about. We're going to get sidetracked from our resolutions. I know we will. I will. I cannot imagine what the world was like before the flood, but the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 that every imagination of the thought of men's hearts, they were only evil continually. So we think about, but it must have been evil at that time. Then I think about what it says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I look all around us and I see the events that are taking place, the things that happen. And you know what? I always wonder, how much worse is it going to get? And then I think about it. It must have been pretty bad in Noah's time. But there was one thing that enabled Noah to see this new beginning when he left the ark. And this is a key verse in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6 and verse says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." It was all because of God's amazing grace that Noah was saved with his family while they were in the ark of God. The ark, it is a type or a picture of Christ as the refuge of His people from judgment. Now, if you're a child of God and we see that blessed beginning that we're going to have in heaven, the same can be said of us. It's all because we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's by His grace and by His mercy only. It's not about us. It's about Him and the love that He has for us. That's the only way that we can see this new beginning in heaven. We love Him because He first loved us. So the children of God will see a new beginning. Now, there will be a new beginning for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the Bible does not give a pretty picture about what takes place in hell. An eternal place of torment for those that did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you hear so many people make light conversation about hell. I just remember one time somebody said, "Yeah, you're going to go to hell and I'm going to be the bus driver. Like it's going to be one great big party for them and their friends there. But you know what? I want to look over in Luke chapter 16 for just a minute. In Luke chapter 16, if you look here in verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died," the rich man and Lazarus here, "that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The rich man cried out that he didn't want his brothers to come to this place of torment. You know, when I read about this man in the Scriptures, when I see what it says here, there are some things that are evident to me. This man is alive. This man is conscious of his surroundings. He has his full faculties of his body. He has a memory. And he's in torment. And there's no doubt in my mind that at one time in his life that he had heard the gospel message to repent. We are not told this in the Scriptures. But what we are told leads me to believe this. He wants Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers. And he says, I want him to tell them. And when you look at verse 28, notice that the rich man does not say, go and tell them about hell. The rich man wanted Lazarus to be able to go and to testify unto them. And what's Lazarus going to testify to him about? He doesn't know about hell. He knows about the grace of God. He knows about that gospel message. He knows what God did for him. That's what he would testify to him about. This rich man that's in hell, he wants them to hear, and he wants them to give him that gospel message. The same message that we give today. It's that message that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, in verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, excuse me, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel message. That's the gospel message. Then it talks about those who saw Him, those that believed that gospel message. That's why I can see that the rich man had heard about Jesus and what Jesus was going to do on the cross of Calvary for the redemption of our sins. Yet he didn't believe it. Now I spoke about the zeal that I see. I see this great love within our membership for each other. Well, I tell you what, I grow strength from that. And I want us to have this time to reflect on this new beginning, really, that we have here at Grace Missionary Baptist Church in the next year. May we always be diligent to spread the gospel message to those around us. You know what? I get so excited when I hear Will or Grace talk about Jesus. They're constantly on the heart. There are others that are on my mind within my family. Those of us, a lot of my friends, that they need the gospel message. It's been given to me to carry that gospel message to those that are around me. And I pray that I can do it in a manner that's pleasing to God. I pray that I will be diligent to take the gospel to them so that one day they might be able to experience that new beginning that we're going to have in heaven. And that's by them placing their trust, their hope, and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I have this morning. I hope that some of the things that we've said have been a blessing. I think about Brother Mike sometimes and how we have these screens up here and has Joe say, next slide. And next slide. If I was sitting back in Brother Joe's spot, I'd miss the next slide because I would be listening. I'm not very good with that kind of thing. I'm just not technologically inclined. Somebody told me to do a spreadsheet, it'd be these sheets spread out on the floor and me picking them up. I can't do those things. So if y'all stand, I'm going to go ahead and just dismiss us in a word of prayer. And we won't have a song to end with. If you bow your heads, I'll dismiss us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we're just again thankful, Lord, for this time that you've allowed us to be together. Lord, we're thankful for all that have been able to come out this morning. And Father, we pray that we've not said anything amiss or led anyone astray from the things that are in your word. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to bless the church here, Father, all the endeavors that we do in following you. Lord, most of all, we pray for the lost around us. Lord, we pray that we would see souls saved. Lord, we love you. Father, we know that you loved us first. Father, we just pray that we would continue to be the instrument, that we would spread the gospel message. Lord, we pray for those who have been mentioned this morning. Father, you know their every need. And Father, we do ask that you would guide us down through this week, bring us back again our next appointed time. And Father, we just pray that we would walk before the world, Father, that others may be able to see Jesus manifested in our lives. Lord, we do ask for the forgiveness of our sins now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.